Coming to you live from Charlottetown, PEI, this is Traffic Conversations, a show where we create a safe space to talk about your family, faith, finances, friends, and fitness. And it's all done with the aim of helping you have your best life. Welcome. Remember that you can feature on our show by sending your questions or feedback by using the link in the show notes. Yes, it's another episode, and today we're going to be continuing with our train of thought around self-improvement. Last week, we told you that we were going to talk about how to unlock the secret to lasting change. We're talking about the power of self-awareness. Now, what is self-awareness? We're going to be diving into that and go through a few thoughts, which I believe will be very helpful on your journey towards improving the different areas of your life that your self-awareness affects. And we're going to be talking about a few of those. So first of all, we would like to thank you for all of the effort that you're making. Thank you for sharing the podcast with your family and friends. With the thousands of downloads that we've gotten, we couldn't have done it without you, and we're really grateful for all the effort that you're making. Thank you for being tolerant with all of the adjustments that we're making with recording live videos, and very soon we will start taking live calls from those of you who would like to call in during the recordings to ask questions and then have us have a really quick conversation around your thoughts. So I'm really excited about that, and I'm looking forward to having that start up. That's really something that I'm looking forward to, and I hope that that you are looking forward to that as well. So today we're going to be looking at what self-awareness is, how it helps, how your self-awareness will help you achieve lasting change, and then we will also dive into practical tips for developing self-awareness. So so without further ado, let's get started. So self-awareness, first of all, is a really important part of a person's journey. Now, I don't know how far along you are on your journey in self-awareness, but it is something that a lot of people lack. And because they lack this quality, it affects their ability to determine their own path through life. Because there are a few things that self-awareness brings, which we're going to be mentioning in a bit. Now, there are several dimensions of self-awareness, but we're not going to dive into those scientific definitions. There's emotional self-awareness, and there's cognitive self-awareness. Now, when I prepared this topic and I was going over it, I wondered at whether it was necessary to begin to dive into deep technicalities, and I don't think it is. We can just mention some of these things, but really talk about the meat of the idea that we're trying to discuss. So we're not talking about self-awareness around the emotional angle or cognitive. We're just going to do some broad strokes, okay? Now, self-awareness, by definition, is the ability to perceive and understand the things that make you who you are as an individual, including your personality, actions, values, beliefs, emotions, and thoughts. Now, this is very significant. Your self-awareness includes your personality, your actions, your values, your beliefs, your emotions, and your thoughts. You need to be in touch with these aspects of your expression, okay? Growing up, I wasn't very self-aware. Other people saw me clearer than I saw myself. I always believed that someone else, other people, were better improved than I was. And it affected my performance in my early childhood. I always felt that someone else was better at doing, at performing in different ways. And I never saw my value. And that followed me through life for a long time. It wasn't until I began to read in the Bible what God's word, the Bible, says about me, his child. And that began to help me line up my self-awareness, my perception of myself, with the truth of what God had said about me, which basically allowed me to look at myself and see the gifts and the abilities that God had put in me. Now, I run a podcast today, but growing up as a child, I never believed that I could speak in public. I never believed that I could speak because I had a bad stutter as a child, and it affected my evaluation of myself. I wasn't aware of my personality. As a child, my personality was introspective. Until now, I am deeply introspective, but it's not as damaging as it could have been if I did not discover who I am. So as an introspective person, I have the ability to go into my thoughts and to unpack things. Now, if I direct those energies towards unpacking negative things, negative thoughts about myself, negative thoughts about other people, what would my outcomes be? You know, let's talk about my actions, okay? Yes, in the arena of actions, how do I respond or react to things, to environments, to peoples, to scenarios? What's my go-to reaction, physical reaction to things? Okay, now, when we talk about self-awareness, we're not endorsing a mediocre discovery. So let's say you find out something that you're currently doing which isn't at par to where you would rather be in life. Does it mean that you just own up to that stage, that part of your development, and just, you know, pitch a tent and say, well, that's who I am and I can never change? No, that's not what that means. You look for the positive areas or aspects of yourself, and then you begin to leverage those positives, and then you use those positives to begin to stifle the negatives. Every one of us has positive sides of ourselves and negative sides of ourselves. These two sides are always in conflict, okay? Just like what Paul says in the book of Romans, that the things that I want to do, which are good, I can't do because there is a law at work in me which pulls me towards the negative. All of us have that. Now, our ability to recognize the positives in the positive work in our lives and cooperating with those positives in order to tame the negatives and albeit eradicate the negatives is really what our journey through life is all about. Now, being a person of faith, my journey of faith is all about me trusting God, trusting his word, trusting his perception of me, trusting what he says I am and trusting what he says I can do, and beginning to use those tools to contain and to suffocate any negative qualities that I may find in myself. Now, those negative qualities could come from external influences like your environment, the family you come from, the things you saw your parents do, or the things you saw people in your community do, and you subconsciously took up those qualities and ran with them, only to discover later in life that those qualities were negative, were bad. Now, some people see that and then they begin to change. Others see it and then they surrender themselves to the negatives. And that's really the difference between greatness and mediocrity, virtue and lawlessness. So, right, so there's really a lot to unpack here. And within the few minutes that we do have to get to spend together, I hope that, you know, we can kind of drill down into this and dredge up the positive conversations that or positive thoughts that you could take and run throughout this week and begin to use those as tools to kind of separate the good from the bad. What do I have at work in me that needs to be leveraged, which is the good? What else do I have at work in me that needs to be stifled, the bad? Identify them, okay? Don't buy into the worldview that everything that comes out of you is inherently good. That is one of the most damaging belief systems out there, that everything that comes out of you is inherently good. Now, the Bible says that there is the good and there is the bad. There is no inherently good person on the planet, okay? Because all of us are fallen. All of us are fallen beings. Now, if anyone tells you that they do not sense that that spirit, okay, that atmosphere around them that tells them that something is wrong and that their lives could be better and that there is a separation between who they currently are and who they should be, there's always that separation. Now, I'm going to just put it in general terms because it's really difficult to convey spiritual things, spiritual values with natural words. And one of the easiest way to make the connection between spiritual values and natural words is to put God in between. Now, when you remove God from the center, all right, there is a complete dissociation between the natural and the spiritual. You cannot make that connection. And that is why people who remove God from the equation struggle in finding that that connection between the natural and the spiritual. So when people try to define spiritual things and they say, oh, don't mention God, don't talk about God, don't talk about the values of the Bible or Judeo-Christian qualities, you find that they flounder because they don't know how, they don't have the words to make that connection. And so whenever I you know, have these sessions and I have conversations around these kinds of thoughts, people always find me going straight for the connection between the spiritual and the natural, you know, with me placing God right there in the middle. So this is just a bit of my example of how self-awareness played out in my own life. Now, as a child, it was really difficult for me to function because I really didn't see the value in myself. I wasn't aware of my personality, my actions. I didn't recognize my values because I always thought somebody else's values were better than mine. All right. Growing up in a Christian home, I always felt that somebody else's values were better. So if they came up and said, okay, here in my home, we believe this. I didn't have the courage to stand up and say, well, in my home, we believe this, because I didn't have a strong grasp of myself, I wasn't self-aware, okay, in the sense that we're discussing today. My beliefs as a child were fluid, and it was only by the grace of God that I was not stared into bad company, because my beliefs were totally I could easily be influenced with enough pressure to go with someone else's beliefs. All right. Now, I just remembered my childhood, and I remembered how my mom built an invisible fence around me. Now, I felt that there was something unusual about how my mother protected me. And maybe she didn't know what she was doing, but I think in her subconscious maternal instincts, okay, she was able to sense that if she didn't do that, I would wind up going wild, like going totally crazy. And I found that she did that for me, but with my younger siblings, it was less so. And I'm not sure, I can't say exactly if it was something premeditated by her or it was advised by certain observations she made of me or just plain maternal instinct, but she did that, and that went a long way towards protecting me from myself, essentially. All right, now many individuals go through life not having a strong grasp of their personality, actions, values. They don't have values, they don't have beliefs. They don't recognize their emotions. They can't track their emotions. They don't know when their emotions are about to pull them into a vortex of confusion. They don't. And they can't keep track of their thoughts. So many people go through life not being truly self-aware. Now, it's important that you recognize your recognize your need for self-awareness, okay? Now, being self-aware, and I just want to say this before we move on, being self-aware isn't necessarily simply being introspective in a negative way, because we could talk about this and then you could go back and begin to dwell on your qualities. And depending on where you are in your journey through life, you could be in a place where you're looking at yourself through a lens that is negative because maybe of your experiences or the things that you've been told, and then you dwell on those things and it could really be destructive. So I really want you to know that that's not what we're talking about. We're not asking you to dwell on the negatives. We're not asking you to dwell on things that would cause you to implode and to have damaging perceptions of yourself. I'm simply asking you to simply take a look at your life. Isolate your personality. What kind of personality do you have? Like, one of the first things that I did as a young teenager was I began to learn about my personality. I didn't know what my personality was until I began to discover these studies on different temperaments. Okay, so I read about them. I attended seminars as a teenager about these things, and I began to understand more and more about who I was and what drove my decision making. And maybe for you, you might need to do that if you haven't. You could even take an Enneagram test. Oh, I took an Enneagram test last year, and I have this PDF report. And as I read this report, it was almost like I was reading a book about me. And it was so unnerving. Like I literally had to put the report in my tablet, and I began to do markings and take notes. And I was literally reading about myself. It's amazing. So if you can do an Enneagram test on yourself and discover more about the things that drive you, the things that your emotional disposition preclude you to do. Okay, now I've spent so much talking about this opener, and I do hope that that it gives you, you know, some room to begin to observe your life. All right, observe your life. Observe you, you know, your personality, your inclinations, and to begin to posture yourself to begin to make some really great moves. Now, by the end of this episode, you will be taking home some points that you can begin to apply on a daily basis that will cause you to, you know, achieve the transformation that you're looking for. Now, we're going to take a short break, and we're going to take a commercial break, and then we'll come back and dive into the next segment of the podcast. The lockdown of 2020 forced many stores to shut their doors, and when they opened, their customers had online stores serving them instead. Stores that used Odoo ERP didn't suffer the same fate. They simply activated e-commerce and sent email to their customers informing them of the adjustment. Make the move to Odoo ERP today. Request a quote by following the link in the show notes below. Okay, welcome back. Now, we've talked about what self-awareness is. Now, let's discuss how self-awareness helps you with lasting change. This entire journey has been taken from the episode where we talked about how to be free from pornography. We also talked about how to make big changes in your life earlier before that episode. And if you haven't listened to those episodes, please go back and listen to those, because these are just those are the origins of this series of conversations that we're going to be having over the next few weeks. Now, how does self-awareness help with lasting change? You want to change your habits. If you're stuck with a habit, how does self-awareness help you change those habits? If you have things going on in your life that you desperately want to improve upon, how does self-awareness help with that? Okay. Now, when you're able to identify your strengths and weaknesses, okay, like, when you go through the self awareness process of going through your motivations, thoughts, your values, and so on, and you're able to identify these things that drive you. How do your actions play out when different scenarios come your way? When you're aware of these things, all right, you can begin to reverse engineer your circumstances. If you have a habit that you're trying to kick, and you realize that you relapse into that habit every time certain things play out in your life. If certain things happen, if you have a quarrel with someone special in your life, and then the next thing you're relapsing, that's a trigger. It is something that you need to be aware of. Now, that tells you that your actions are driven in a particular direction when certain events take place in your life. Now, what does that help you do? It helps you begin to observe yourself carefully, so that when you begin to see certain things play out in your life, you can predict that you're going to subconsciously begin to flow towards a relapse. And then you can begin to consciously rein yourself in. You can consciously begin to change the decision matrix, okay? You can impose a conscious change in decisions, okay, on top of the subconscious reactions that you've been acting out over the last few years, okay? So if a gentleman has discovered that he goes drinking every time he gets into a heated argument with a special someone in his life, or let's say his wife. Every time he goes into a heated conversation with his wife, maybe it's about a financial situation that they're going through, and it could be anything. They could have a disagreement, and every time they have a disagreement, he realizes that he always relapses into alcoholism right after the disagreement. What he can do is he begins to watch out for those triggers. So let's say he realizes, okay, this is what I've been doing over the last few years. I'm going to make changes. So he steps into a situation where there's a disagreement with his spouse. The disagreement progresses, and right in the middle of the disagreement, you know, I don't know if this happens to you, but sometimes when I'm in a situation, sometimes I am engaged in that situation, then there's a part of myself that steps aside and begins to watch the situation, and I say to myself, I'm not, this situation is driving me in this direction. I'm not going to go there. I'm going to look for a door where I can, you know, escape. I'm going to look for an out where I can escape this cycle and break it. All right. So now that's me. If you struggle to imagine that scenario, then I'm sorry, but this is basically the way my mind works. So if he's in a situation where he's in an argument with his wife, and then it's heading down the usual path of, all right, we're in a heated disagreement, we're going to part ways, I'm going to jump into my car or take a walk, and I'm going to find a bar, and I'm going to get drunk just to forget my troubles. If that person realizes, okay, this is usually the action that I take after this sequence of events, what does he do? He basically says, okay, I know that the normal cycle will take me to a bar. So what am I going to do differently? One, I can either stop this argument right in the middle, ask for a recess, and then go to my room or do something different around the house, or maybe just offer to do something nice for her, do the dishes, help her to clean up after dinner. Something that is out of the ordinary, okay? Because usually the argument goes on and on until he finds himself in a bar. This time around, he knows that that's where this train is headed, and he wants to find an out. So somewhere within the argument, he says, oh, I just realized that the plates are dirty. Can I help you out with that? Then we can continue this conversation, all right? Just please, I want to do something special for you. I mean, I don't know. I'm giving an example because once you're able to interrupt that cycle, once you're able to stop that flow, you're in charge, you're in control of the outcome, you can decide what happens next, okay? Or is it a belief system, or is it a value system? What are your values, okay? What are your values? Do you believe, so let's say we have a gentleman. I'm going to be knocking on men, because the truth is that most times the men are the ones in charge of the, they have the upper hand in relational situations, in relationship situations, especially when it has to do with a situation with people of opposite sexes. All right, so we have a man and a woman. They are acquaintances. They enjoy being together. They are not connected or married. And all that tends to happen with the gentleman is when he finds himself in a situation like this, what usually happens is that they eventually get intimate, and then by the following day there's regrets, he and the lady part ways, and there's a lot of shame, and that relationship just goes up in smoke. Now this individual realizes, okay, there's a pattern to this. Whenever I am in a relationship with a lady and it gets and the connection is mutual, and things get really interesting, and we find ourselves alone in a private situation, this usually happens. It ends in intercourse, and then the relationship implodes naturally by the following day, and over time it fizzles away, and something that could have been really special gets destroyed simply because I could not contain my passions. Now, when a gentleman like that sees that situation with values, okay, so why does the relationship implode when there's intercourse at that point? Because perhaps he has values that tell him that this is a situation that is only meant to be preserved until marriage. And once he engages in intercourse with a woman outside of marriage, the guilt overwhelms him, and then he basically withdraws, and as he withdraws, the relationship, disintegrates. Now, he realizes that this is a strong value for him, okay? And when he goes out to meet other potential connections with ladies out there who seem to match his value system, he has to realize that when he's in a situation like that, he has to hold up his values and say, look, these are my values, and this is where I think this relationship is going. This is what I want, and I really want to keep this keep this relationship in order as much as possible. And then he makes decisions on his own. I will not be alone with any lady that I have an emotional connection with. I will keep this relationship in check until we decide to be married, and then we can explore our passions to the fullest degree. Now, this may sound old-fashioned to a lot of people, and that may be why the gentleman is struggling, because he surrounds himself with people who have opposing values. Now, when you are self-aware of your values, it determines the places you go and the people you connect with. And once those are established, it begins to determine what kind of outcomes you have, in these environments, because the environment really is important. Environment involves the people, places, and the activities that are carried out in those places with those people. So this is just one aspect of how self-awareness can help an individual change outcomes. It can also help the individual identify strengths and weaknesses. Okay, because once you've seen your strengths, you've been able to track your responses to situations, you know what you're strong at, and you know what you're weak at. Let me talk about self-reflection for a bit. Now, in the last section, I talked about how we should be careful about being introspective to the point where we focus only on the negatives. And if you only heard that and you didn't basically hear the balanced approach to the entire thought, you think that self introspection is bad. Introspection is not bad. You just need to be balanced about it. While you're thinking about the negatives that you need to change, you should also think about the positives. All right. If introspection only contains the negatives, then it is unhealthy. So you have to start out your introspection with the positives. Always start with the positives. Okay. Find the negatives that need to be changed, then end your introspection with positives. All right. Very important. Now, self-reflection can allow you to examine things that have gone right in your life, why they went right. And then you can also examine things that went wrong in your life and then determine why they went wrong. This is very important because many people don't take the time to do a review of themselves, of their actions. They go through life without reflecting on their motivations, their values, why they have these values, their actions, why did I do that, when this happened, and ask themselves really deep questions and dig up the driving forces behind their outcomes. Self-reflection is a great tool to make that happen. And when you go through a session where you're reflecting on these things, it will be helpful to literally have a pen and paper in front of you and just write an outline of your thoughts. Okay, introspection without taking away some points that need to be worked on is eventually going to turn around and become damaging. So it has to be constructive self-reflection, okay? So you need to look through your life, identify your strengths, your weaknesses, make decisions on things that you do differently, and then put them down on paper. All right. Many years ago, journaling used to be a big thing. And these days, I rarely hear about people who journal. And I would encourage you to do your very best to have a journal, even if all you do is put down a single sentence about your session, where you reflect on your thoughts, on your motivations, your actions, your outcomes, things you want to change. Just one sentence will be fine. Just start that, because it's really important to document your journey. Now, this is really this is a dicey topic, because we are attempting to talk about something that is so broad. People are dealing with different things, different scenarios in their lives, and it's really difficult to nail down specific scenarios. I have generalized a lot during this episode, and it's intentional, because it is essentially impossible for me to touch every single person who is listening to this session and accurately depict their scenario. So generalizations are great for that purpose. Use the tools that have been provided. Reflect on your actions. Reflect on your values. Reflect on all of the things that make you you. Think about the outcomes you've had and the things that led to those outcomes. Document what your observations are, and then determine to do things differently. It's very important. If you don't do that, you're not keeping a history of yourself. And anyone who ignores their personal history is doomed to repeat the negatives of their personal history. Okay, it's just like the saying, those who ignore history are doomed to repeat it. So if you have things that repeat in your life again and again, and you don't take the time to observe your life and decide that you're going to make different decisions when similar scenarios play out, you're going to repeat history. Okay, you're just going to do the same things and keep asking yourself, why can't I change? You won't change doing the same things over and over again. All right, it's been said that that is the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different outcome. You want your life to get better. You want your life to improve. You need to begin to do things differently. If you've not spent time reflecting on yourself and your motivations, all right, you're going to find out that you're going to continue making the same mistakes, making the same decisions that brought you to the place where you currently are. Now, we're going to take a break, and then at the beginning of the next segment, I'm going to talk about a very important part of the self-reflection process, which it would be horrible for me to leave out. It wouldn't do you any good if I don't talk about it. So I'll take a short commercial break and then see you in the next segment. Every podcaster knows that the hardest part about podcasting is the lack of hands-on mentorship and an active support system. That's why many fail to launch and grow their podcasts. Sign up for Podcasting Made Simple, a 5-day podcasting workshop, and get the assistance and continued support that will guarantee the successful launch and growth of your podcast. Register by using the link in the show notes. All right, we're back. Thank you for sticking with me so far. These episodes are getting longer because we're trying to improve the quality of the content, make it richer, make them more intentional. And it would be great if we could get feedback from you about your thoughts about our current format. Is it working for you? your thoughts on the video content for those of you who are watching the video on YouTube and on Spotify. Let us know what your thoughts are about all of this. And then it will be encouraging because we know that you're out there listening and rooting for us, because when you send us your thoughts and your suggestions, it makes us better. Now, just like I promised, I said that before we jump into the next segment proper, I'm going to talk about an element within the self-reflection step that is really important. And that is the fact that when people get into a stage of self-reflection, because we are in a fallen state, all right, I make no apologies for being a person of faith. Everyone knows, everyone in the Christian faith knows that all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. We've missed the mark. No matter how hard we try to aim accurately, we can't seem to get it right. We want to live good lives. We want to live a life that is pleasing to God. And let's say you're not thinking so much about God, but you want to live a life that is pleasing to your parents, to your fellow human being, and you just can't seem to do it. All right, that's called sin. It's called falling short. And we all fall short. And when we go into this phase of self-reflection, we will always find out that we fall short. And when we dwell on these thoughts about not meeting up, falling short, and so on, do you know what happens? We go into a depression. And because we can't dig ourselves out of that hole, the more we try to dig ourselves out, the deeper the hole gets. We discover that it's hopeless. It's hopeless to help yourself. It's hopeless to change anything because you really can't help yourself. So when you find yourself in that situation and then you realize that you need something bigger or higher than you are to help you get out of that situation, that's where the trouble starts, or that's where the trouble escalates, because most people take the route of finding a substance, a drug, a crutch that is going to make them feel like they are getting out of the hole. And that's where drug addictions come in. That's where addictions of different kinds come in. And this is really where, if I gave you the instruction to engage in some self-reflection and I left you to yourself, you would find yourself in a deep depression and you would be driven to the wrong sources of help, if you call them that. This is where God comes in. This is where Jesus comes in. I don't want to be apologetic about this, because if I knew of a drug that could cure cancer, and I've taken the drug, it cured me of my cancer, and I find you on the street. You just got out of the doctor's office. The doctor gave you a bad prognosis, told you that you have 3 months to live. Yeah, and I knew that I had the answer to your situation, and I kept that answer to myself simply because somebody wrote a blog somewhere saying that that medication doesn't work and so on. Would you forgive me on your final day when you're about to pass into eternity and you find out that I had the answer to this situation and I kept it from you simply because I didn't want to be spoken ill of by a blog? So that's really the same here. If I feel bad that me talking about Jesus and God a lot on my podcast, especially at these points where there is an intersection between science and eternity, okay, the physical and the spiritual, and the only catalyst that can make that, well, it's wrong to call God or Jesus a catalyst, but the only connection that can make everything work is Jesus. And I keep that back from you and tell you, well, go back and have some nice self-reflection sessions. Keep a detailed diary and then everything will be fine. What's going to happen is that you just fill up your diary with all the sordid things that you discovered during your self-reflection sessions, and then it will drive you deeper and deeper into one or two destructive addictions, and then your life will just go from bad to worse. So I would like to encourage you to engage in self-reflection, but invite Jesus to be a part of the process. Take the word of God into the self-reflection process. I would recommend that you read the Bible every day. Yes, you're reflecting on the things that are happening in your life, your motivations, values, decisions, everything that we've talked about during this episode, but you have to have the word of God going into your ears and through your eyes and out of your mouth every single day. That is the thing that will balance the entire process out. Why? Because when you discover something negative, okay, and you want to deal with it, the word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit are there to help you make those changes. You found the problem, the power of God and the word of God helps you solve or create a solution or a response to these problems. So I just wanted to throw that in before we dive into the third section. Now, we're going to be discussing practical tips for developing self-awareness, and I'm just going to give certain ideas, and I just want you to stay with me. So one practical step that I've mentioned is journaling. I mentioned it earlier, and I subconsciously stepped into one tip. There's journaling, there's mindfulness. Now, when I say mindfulness, I don't mean sitting down cross-legged, eyes closed, and think about your life. No, it's about going through life mindful of your actions, of your reactions, of challenges to your belief system, being aware of the things going on around you, things coming at you, and things going out of you. You need to be mindful. Don't be emotional. Don't react emotionally. In fact, the Bible says we should be slow to speak. You know, we should be slow to speak. That basically means be slow to react. Don't react on instinct. Before you do anything, all right, be slow in your reactions. That's a very important thing. Being mindful is to be slow in your reactions. Quickly think things through. If you don't have a properly well thought out response to a scenario, okay, postpone your reaction. Postpone it. Just decide, I'm going to do something about this later. If someone wants you to give a quick response, all right, tell them, I'll get back to you before the end of the day. It doesn't matter if you can't make it to the end of the day. The idea is keep yourself from making instant reactions reacting instantly to things that come at you. Be mindful. All right. Now, one thing about mindfulness that is really powerful is this. When you spend time in that period of self-reflection and you begin to discover, okay, these are patterns in my life. How am I going to break these patterns? You break a pattern with decisions. You make a decision. Next time this happens, I'm going to do this instead of this. Next time this person gets me really upset, I'm not going to respond in kind. I'm going to do the opposite. I'm going to do something different from what I've been doing, and I'm going to just, you know, respond differently and be quiet. Okay, I'm going to break this cycle this way. Mindfulness is a product of reflection. you have decided on how you will react when certain situations or scenarios play out. I remember years ago, I didn't know I was doing that, but you know, I just accidentally stepped into this combination. I would sit back, think about possible scenarios that would happen, and then make a decision on how I was going to respond the next time a similar situation played out. I did that for a long time, for years, and I didn't know that that was what I was doing. And sometimes those situations would play out and I would just play the script that I had prepared during my period of reflection. I would decide when this happens, I will not do this that I've been doing, I will do the opposite. And when I began to do that, the outcomes began to change significantly. You know, so I would encourage you to do that. And then finally, I would like you to seek feedback from others. If there are people that you can trust that can tell you, hey, you can ask them to watch you and to give you feedback on your conduct. You say to them, I'm working on these aspects of my life and I would like you to help me to give me feedback. Watch me and let me know how I'm doing. All right. Get feedback from others as much as you can to be able to tell whether you're headed in the right direction. Many times people want to give themselves a pat on the back and say, oh, well, you're doing great. You know, but it's always great when you get feedback from other people. I've had people walk up to me. Now, I wasn't seeking their feedback, but they walked up to me and said, hey, I noticed this thing about you, and I want to tell you that it is a blessing to me. And it is something, and that thing they are telling me about is something that I've been walking through, praying about, trusting God for, working on, and saying, look, I need to work on this, and I need to deal with this and keep it in check, and so on. And someone else randomly walks up to me and says to me, I noticed this quality in you, and you know, it's such a blessing. Someone did that some days ago, and I said to him, I said, look, I've been praying about this and I've been talking to the Lord about this for years. I'm aware that this particular area of my life is an issue, and I've been trusting God, and I'm glad that He has been helping me. You know, sometimes, and really, I believe humility is a big part of this process. Humility, because when things begin to change for you, you need to acknowledge the fact that, you know, you had help. You know, you had help. And humility should actually be one of the things that you should practice during this this season of transformation. Okay, practice humility. If you've experienced success, if you've experienced victories, all right, it's not time to break out the champagne and raise a toast to yourself. It's time for you to sit down and be grateful, okay? Be grateful to God. Be grateful to the people who have been there. Be grateful to the people who have contributed. And if this podcast has been a part of the you know, your journey, and you know, you picked up some strong points that have been helpful, show your gratitude by sending us a voice note. There's a link in the show notes that lets you send a voice note and just tell your story, say how the podcast has been helpful, and then just let us know that you're blessed by what we've been sending your way. So that will be another way of expressing your humility. So you need to also have a growth mindset. You can always get better. You can always get better. There's always room for improvement. Yes, you've been able to abandon your destructive cycle, but you need to aim at getting better and better and more elegant in your expression of good qualities or of good values. All right, there are challenges on your journey, but look. Anything that is worth doing, anything valuable, okay, will take effort. And so when these challenges come, you need to see them as opportunities for self-discovery. So yes, you took all of the prescribed steps that we discussed, and something still went wrong. What went wrong? It's time for you to sit back again and discover something new about yourself. discover something new about yourself. You know, when things aren't going the way they should, sit back and ask yourself, why did this happen? Is there a reason why this happened? And then you begin to, go deeper into discovering, becoming more self-aware. All right, becoming more self-aware. When I was younger, my triggers were at the surface. All right, my triggers were at the surface. But the older I've gotten, I haven't improved because of my age. I've only improved because I've worked through this through the years. Okay, through the years. And because I've worked through this through the years, the triggers are getting deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And I'm going to keep working at this until the day I leave the planet. I don't think I'm going to get to the point where I'm perfect and I'm completely free of a need to improve. So that is something you have to have as a mindset. You need to embrace an ever-growing sequence, an ever-increasing growth in your development. So I have been blessed to be able to sit here and share with you a few of these thoughts. I would love to hear back from you. I hope that the content that we're pushing your way and sending to you is helpful. If there's something in the content that you disagree with, it's fine. Send a voice note. Point out the areas that you disagree with. And let me know, and let's have a conversation. I could do another recording as a backup to something that you say, and then we can iron things out. Or I could mention it on a future episode, just to upgrade the knowledge that we're putting out and sending your way. I love spending this time with you, and it is my prayer and it's my hope that all of the words that we speak into your ear as you drive or commute to work, as you go on your morning jogs, as you're in the office or as you're doing the laundry or doing the dishes or preparing a meal, that all these words that are going into your ears are really adding a lot of value to your life, and that in a few years you can look back and see how far you've come. All right. If there are things that you're working through and trying to break out of, in a few years you look back and those things are non-issues. They appear to have evaporated. That is my prayer for you. I'm praying that you grow and become stronger and better in every aspect of your life. So thank you for going through this. Remember, you can always go back and listen to this episode again to go over all of the things that have been said. We cannot cover everything exhaustively. This is a single episode, and we can only hope to give you the nuggets that you can develop upon in the direction of your journey and help you to continue to grow and improve in your own life. I'm encouraging you to cultivate self-awareness, all right, through these practical strategies and reflect on, just go through daily self-reflection sessions with the Bible. You meditate on the Word of God, and then you think through your actions, your motives, your values. Ask yourself questions. Play scenarios out in your mind and ask yourself, okay, if this happens tomorrow, how will I respond? And make sure that your response, of course, is lined up with the values that you pick up from God's word. And then you continue to do this every day. And through the years, you'll find that you'll improve in your ability to to adjust and to have better responses to life's questions as they come at you. Thank you so much. I'm inviting you again to share your experiences by sending your voice notes using the link in the show notes. Don't forget to share this episode with your family and friends. Let them know about this. If there's someone that you know who's going through something and they will be benefited by listening to this episode, please share it with them. It would really be a blessing. Remember that you can subscribe to the podcast. When you subscribe, you get notified when a new release is published. If you're watching this on YouTube, remember to subscribe and click the bell icon so that you're notified when a new episode is published. We always release new episodes on Mondays, and we hope that you will join us next Monday, okay, as the episode is dropping, and be a part of it. Remember to leave a review either in the show notes, in the comments section on YouTube, or by leaving a review on whatever podcasting platform you're listening to this on. And I would love voice notes to be sent in, because we hope to have some episodes where your voice is literally featured during the episode. Next week, we will be talking about the science of self-discipline and motivation. It's really about how to beat procrastination. All right. Now, we're going to be talking about how procrastination works. We're going to talk about self-discipline. We're going to talk about the science of motivation and much more. Join us next week. Okay, if you have questions, if you have contributions that you want to shoot in before next week's episode, please go ahead and drop them in the comment section and as a voice note, and I would love to hear back from you. Thank you so much for joining me again, and I'm looking forward to seeing you next week. Thank you so much. It's been fun. I enjoy these sessions. Bye. You've been listening to Traffic Conversations. We hope you found the episode helpful. Remember to subscribe and share the episode with your family and friends. And if you want to ask a question or give us your feedback on something we said during this episode, use the link in the show notes and let us know. You can also find the links to the sponsors mentioned in this episode in the show notes. We hope you'll join us next time for another episode of Traffic Conversations.